Well, good morning, and we pray you had a fantastic Christmas doing whatever you normally do or traditionally do. And we hope that you got to tap in at some stage throughout the day to the message and the video of the sermon online. It was great. And I hope that you got to enjoy that with your loved ones. But I might just pray before we open the word this morning. So Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come around your word, and we can do so freely, and we can do so with an open heart this morning. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You're welcome here just to minister and encourage. And Lord, would you speak to each heart and life today, Lord? Would you move in a way that only you can? Would there be less of me and more of you this morning, we pray? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this time of year, I don't know if you're anything like me, you might be sitting back and you begin to ponder the year that was, and for some that can have different sorts of memories with the crazy year that we've had. It's just been a really interesting year, but I find that between Christmas Day and New Year's Eve, I get to reflect on the year that was, but I don't actually stay there long. I begin to project to the year that's coming. And even as I was watching people come in, and I heard people saying a few different things, we can't wait for the new year to begin, and it's going to be better than this year. And this morning I just want to share five simple thoughts, and five probably just different ideas that I'm thinking about as you, over the next couple of days, I would encourage you to reflect on your year and then project into your new year. And so today's message is a call to action. Today's message is a call to change, and not for change's sake. You see, I think change is good, but from what I see and what I sometimes observe in society is lots of people want to change those grandiose things in the world. And this time of year, we think about what we want to change, and we reflect upon those sorts of things, and we want to change. So we want to make a change, so let's change the world. And you see, it's a big statement. And you see, that's fine, and we should always fight for those big things to change in our world. But what I'm saying this morning, and what I want to focus on this morning, is I don't want us to want to change those big picture things, but then neglect the way that we change things on a personal level or on a personal note. So when we see Jesus Christ, he ministered, and he always ministered on the level of the human heart. And so I believe we should fight for those big things to change. We should fight for the injustices of the world. But what we are seeing in the world right now is something completely different. You see, in the lead up to Christmas, Tone's a really great gift giver. And if you ever get a gift from Tone, it's always a well thought out, methodically thought process of giving a gift to someone. And so as a part of that, I turned into a courier service over the last couple of weeks as I went and collected these gifts that had been acquired and methodically thought out for different people. And who knows in your driving that it's always good to have something playing or have music playing. Well, for me, I usually have some sort of podcast of some description playing. Some people might look and go, well, how boring. But I actually really enjoy it, and I like to just listen to different things. And one of the podcasts I was listening to, they were talking about some Christian cultural commentators. They're saying that we're about to see, or we're witnessing the starting of this world, this thing in the Western world, which they're calling this godless revival. A revival of where people are stepping up and being awakened to certain things, yet Christ isn't at the center. And who knows, when Christ isn't at the center, things can just fall adrift very, very quickly. And Christ needs to stay the center. So this morning, I want us to actually apply and think about, and actually I want you to acquire, or, and here you go, Ian, this is for you. I've actually titled my message, Greater Things. Now, Ian does a great job of loading our sermons online, and we always have every month, I reckon, we have a bit of a joke about what was the title of that message, because Ian has to put a title. So I'll start to try and really put it in there, and so Ian only has to listen to the first 10 minutes of the sermon to know the title. But the title of this one is Greater Things, because I want us to actually think about things on a personal level, knowing that God's called each of us to greater things in the new year. And our scripture for today, it comes from Ephesians 3, chapter 20, and it says this. It's one of my favourite scriptures in the Bible. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more. Immeasurably more. You can't measure how much more than we ask or we can imagine to His power that is at work within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To Him, to Christ. Christ is able to do immeasurably more. You see, you may have a dream for your life, and that's significant, but that's just the beginning. You may have a vision for your life, and that's inspiring, but if you can just see how much good God wants to put into your life, you would be overwhelmed at the greater things that He has for you. Whether you are today, or whether you feel like you're winning, or maybe you feel like you're losing, I'm here to tell you that God has greater things for your life. And in this cultural moment that we're in, where the world is not really conducive to taking big risks and tracing your dreams. You see, if you have an opinion that's different from popular culture, you automatically get cut down. There's uncertainty around finances, around this COVID pandemic. There's all these things that are going on in our world right now that they have the ingredients to pull your attention from the higher things of God and down into your situations and down into your surroundings. You see, it's not conducive. It's not a conducive environment for you, for chasing your dreams. But I know right now people are actually starting to think about, reflect upon and project forward and actually dream dreams for 2021. But it actually says in Ephesians 3 verse 20, God wants to do immeasurably more in your life. You see, I was at work. We weren't able to have people at work for pretty well the whole year. But in the last week or so, we did presentation nights and we did all of those things that you do at the end of the year, and we were able to have parents come in. And as parents came in, I was walking around and talking to people, and I was talking to this parent who was telling a story to a couple of people of what he was just been doing. He was a part of this test project, I suppose you could say, through a university student, a human movement scientist, and one of their assignments that they had to do was to take someone through the bench press, and this person was their test subject. I was like, thank God, as I was listening to this story, I'm like, thank goodness it wasn't me being the test subject, because the object of the test was to do your max one rep, whatever that was, you know, just do that. And so this person was saying, naturally, he didn't want to look like a goose, so he went to the gym a week before, and he said he sat down on the bench press because he did not want to look silly. I remember him saying that a number of times. I didn't want to look silly, so I went just to make sure I could actually do something, and started at 80 and then went to 100 and 120 and got to 145, and he walked out of the gym and he was feeling pretty good and feeling ready for this assessment that he had to do with this human movement scientist. And so he walks into this experiment, he walks into this assessment, and this guy says to him, don't worry about your numbers, I just want you to worry about the bar and the technique, I tell you. And he started at 80 kilos, and that was easy. And then he pressed that one, and then they put the next 100. This is 100, and off they went. And he says, don't worry about the bar, just keep your arms, move them in, and so forth. And then this is 135, and told him that it was 135, but he was actually lying to him. It wasn't 135, it was 145. And then he said, this is the last one. We're going to do the last one right now that we're going to do is you're going to press 135 kilos. And once again, he was lying to him, because it wasn't 135, it was 165. And the comment that got me out of his whole story was, he said this to him afterwards. He said, the guy said to me, your brain will never know what your body can accomplish. And I want you to know that your brain or your mind can't comprehend the great things that our God can accomplish through you. And today I want to tell you to believe again. And raise the level of faith that you have, because God can do immeasurably more in and through your life. But one thing I know is greatness and ease, they don't really walk side by side. Or greatness and complacency are not close companions. Or greatness and comfortability don't usually run in the same circles. To achieve those dreams that you have, it requires change, and change is hard, because it starts with the fact that you have to admit to yourself that you need to change. So this morning I want to start in a bit of a strange place. I want to start with each of us admitting that we're not perfect. Now, that's easy for me, and for some in the room that may be a little bit more challenging. But we're not perfect. Maybe you're not the final product that God's designed, and that maybe next week as you move into the new year, you'll be a little bit more like Christ than you are today. I don't want to be the same Jeremy that's in front of you today, next week, or the week after. I want greater things in my life. And so right now, let's just admit that we all need some areas to change. We all need to grow. So today I'm actually going to ask us to commit to change. And around the communion table, I'm going to have a quick thought at the end around that. And so today I'm going to give us five practical points. I'm going to read out five practical points. And they all start with C's. And I don't know if you ever used to, when I was a kid and I used to listen to sermons, if you were able to come up with a sermon that all started with this is the five S's of faith, or whatever it was, I remember preachers used to always try to do that. Well, today I've got the five C's. And what I want you to do this morning is at the end of the message, I'm going to get you to stand for one. So out of these five C's, I want you to choose one. I don't want you to be greedy. You don't get to choose two. You just get one, because I know when you apply one of these areas to your life, you will succeed and achieve greater things as we move forward. Because who knows, as humans, we get distracted very, very easily. You know, like we're easily distracted. So I want you to choose your one at the end. And I want you to stand for your one, because sometimes to have a spiritual change, we need to be obedient physically. And so I'm going to read through these five C's, then I'm going to expand upon them and elaborate on them, and then we're going to stand for our one around the communion table, because Ephesians 3 verse 20 says that God can do immeasurably more by the power of Christ that works within us. You see, not the power of Christ that works on your surroundings, not the power of Christ that works on your friends, the power of Christ that works in each and every one of us. And so you're going to choose your one, and then the power of Christ is going to work in you. And then those greater things that God has for each and every one of us will come in and we're at work in each of our life. So the five C's that house the greater things that God has for each one of us. So I'll read them out. Number one, confidence in the call. And then number two, connections that shape your life. Three, closeness with the Holy Spirit. Four, character that makes or breaks. And five, commitment that sets you on fire. And one of these is for you, and the Holy Spirit is going to make it resonate in your heart. And as I read and articulate and talk, I'm really praying that you won't hear my voice, but you'll actually hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to you on an individual and personal level this morning. Number one, confidence in the call. You see, for some people today, this is for you. As you reflect upon your year and as you project into 2021 and the greater things that God has for each and every one of us, you need to grow in your confidence in the call of God on your life. And it's not this self-confidence. So I was reading a thing on Facebook last night, and congratulations, Lily. It's like Trev was saying something about an award, a prestigious award Lily got at university, one of those topper echelons that I'd never get, but she was able to achieve, and well done. And Trev said something about, we're just proud of you, not in a boasting way. But it's like the same sort of thing. It's not this self-confidence, but it's this confidence, it's this growth in how confident you are in yourself. this growth in how confident you are that the miraculous power of God can work through you. And this is what I find. I find that people that need to grow in this area, in this confidence in themselves, is they have these what we call capped conversations. Your self-talk is capped. I don't have enough time for that. Or that's not really my gifting. Or I can't fit that into my schedule. I couldn't possibly do that. You see, all of these reasons that you couldn't have the great things of God come into your life or take more of God, and this kind of capped conversations leads to this capped life. You see, Moses, he had this kind of conversation we see in Exodus, that God reveals himself to Moses as a burning bush, like literally a burning talking bush. And Moses, he still has doubts whether God can work through him. And in Exodus 3, verse 11 and 12, Moses says this, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I know you're all powerful, God, but who am I? Who am I? And I've got a starter. Surely you can choose somebody else. Somebody else could bring the people out of Egypt." And people that need to grow in this, the confidence in the call, always have this kind of language around about their life. And maybe that's you. And I this morning, let's not look at the person next to us. Let's actually apply what I feel to talk about this morning to our own lives. And I want you to think about your language. That's not my gift. I'm too tired. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you to be like David and do what David did in 1 Samuel 30 verse 6. It says, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He started preaching to himself. He said, "I know I'm tired, but greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. You see, this looks way too hard for me, but if God is for me, it doesn't matter the odds that are stacked against me. I'm going in the direction of the call of God." All of those capped conversations. And I know there's been times in my life where this has definitely been me. And some people may think me coming up on a platform and talking to people, you see, that's not where I really have my fears. My fears don't come in. My fears come into the world when I'm at the supermarket and God gives me a word for someone and I have to interrupt him or her and give them a word from God. And that's scary to me. And I don't want to do it. That's awkward. But God, I've got to get home. I've got to go cook dinner. I've got to help Tone look after the kids. It's all of these conversations that we have. But what I find in those times when we are most scared, those are the pathway to our greatest potential. And to have confidence is a physical representation where I step out of dependence on my own ability and I step into the dependence of God. I step out of the dependence of Jeremy and this is what I could do and this is going to be awkward and what if I don't present this the right way and what if I, no, I step into the anointing and the confidence and the call that God has called me or God has called you to it and his power is going to see you through it. And for some people today, the pathway to your greatest potential is going to be straight through your greatest fear. You see, Erwin McManus, he's this great leader. He runs a church in America called Mosaic Church. It's got a global platform. It's got a worldwide influence. And he tells this story of running a connect group or running a life group. And he ran a life group or a connect group for 15 years every week. And every week before he shared the message at his connect group, every single week he would run to the bathroom and he would throw up every week for 15 years. But he didn't stop. You see, sometimes you need to go through your fear. Sometimes you need to step out of your own dependence and the dependence on yourself and step into the dependence on the call of God on your life. And for some people today, you see, you may have just already found the one that resonates in your heart. Today, draw a line in the sand and make a commitment that you'll depend more on the call of God on your life than on your own abilities. Number two, connections that shape your life. You see, if you show me who you are listening to, if you show me who you are hanging around, if you show me who you are drawing from, very quickly can you see who you're becoming. You see, Proverbs 19 verse 20 says this, listen to advice, accept discipline, and at the end you'll be counted among the wise. You see, the people around you, they shape your life. But also, the people around you can also make a way. You see, Paul, he's this guy in the Bible, you've probably heard a lot, I hope you've heard a lot about him. He used to be Saul. And he used to be a guy who would, he would go and drag Christians out of their homes and have them killed. And have them killed for no other reason than believing in Jesus Christ. And then one day he has this miraculous encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He encounters Jesus and straight away after that he wants to go and preach Jesus to the world. And he goes to the Christian council at the time. And he goes to them and he goes to the council at the time with Peter and all the boys and he says, I wanna be in a room with all the Christians and I wanna tell them about the good things of Jesus. And they're like, weren't you the guy who was killing them all last week? Like, what? He's like, yeah, that's me. No, that's a bad idea. You see, he didn't have the approval of council, but one person, Barnabas vouched for Paul. And you see, Paul, he wrote most of the New Testament, and he started, and he was an apostle, he created multiple churches because one person vouched for him. And one person opened the door. You see, you might be one connection away from the door opening to your destiny. And this is why connect groups are so important. Not because of where they can get you, but you might be one connection away from your healing being unleashed. You might be one connection away from loneliness being destroyed in your life. You might be one connection away in your business from taking your business to the next level with a proper mentor. You see, connections that shape your life. And for some people today, you need to expand your relational circle. For some people, you go to work and you do your job and you come home and you know you felt the urge to have a conversation with that person who's sitting by themselves, but you still haven't done that. And for some, this morning, it's this one, the connections that shape your life. Closeness with the Spirit. The third point. Closeness with the Holy Spirit. See, this is a big one. It says 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? You see, I think if we actually grasped the verse in its entirety, the world would be a different place. You see, the Holy Spirit is in you, whom you have from God. You see, you're not your own. You are bought at a price because salvation was free for you, but it cost Jesus a lot. You see, salvation is like going to a restaurant and your mate pays for the whole meal, and on the way out you're like, oh, free meal, thank you, restaurant. And it's stupid, isn't it? That's my phone down there. Don't worry about that. If you want to hit the side button, it'll tilt the shush up. Thank you. Sorry about that. Didn't put it on silent. Where was I? So it's like you're going to a restaurant and at the restaurant you say thank you to the restaurant, but it actually cost your mate the meal because it wasn't free. Someone else paid for it. And salvation is free for you and I, but it cost Jesus his blood because the price of sin is blood. And now I want to tell you this because the Holy Spirit, the eternal Holy Spirit, he was in the beginning of time. It says in the Bible he was hovering over the waters. He was the power of God to create. The power of God to create the land and the sun and the seas and the stars, the plants, the animals, and ultimately the crown of creation, which is you and I, humanity. But he didn't stop there. God's power on earth didn't stop there. And all through history in the Old Testament, he anointed individuals for the powerful works of God. He anointed kings like David. He anointed priests to dwell in the Holy of Holies. He anointed prophets like Elijah that did miraculous works. You see, they were these amazing people with the amazing power of God to do great things. And the Holy Spirit himself dwelt in the Holy of Holies within the temple. And if anybody but the high priest went in there, they would be killed straight away, because nothing impure can be before the Spirit of God. But then the Son of God, what we celebrated a couple of days ago, Jesus, he came to earth because God knew that the old system was busted. The Holy Spirit was constrained. And you see, you and I, when we were originally created, when Adam and Eve were created, and the Holy Spirit was connected to them intimately. You see, the Holy Spirit is one part of the Trinity. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you and I, we are triune beings as well. You see, there is the body. And that's how we relate and how we speak to each other. And some have got a better body than others and so forth. And then there's the soul. And that's how we know ourselves. But then there's the Spirit. And that's how we connect with God. And in the beginning of time, our spirit and the Holy Spirit, they were meshed together. And that's how we were designed to be. We were designed to be close. We were designed to be connected to the source of joy and love and peace, because God just doesn't give those things. He is those things. And when you're connected to Him on that spirit level, you experience those things all the time. But because of sin, you and I, we got cut off from the Holy Spirit to dwell in that temple. But when Jesus came, when he died for yours and when he died for my sin, the temple curtain got torn from top to bottom, and the Holy Spirit did exactly what he was always doing. He gave power to the anointed. But now the anointed just aren't the priests and the prophets and the king. The anointed are every person that declares that Jesus Christ is Lord of their life. And the Holy Spirit doesn't just dwell in a man-made temple. He dwells in the temple of the human heart of every person that declares that Jesus is Lord. And one thing I know is the Holy Spirit, he's not going to fight with Instagram for your affection. The Holy Spirit is not going to fight with Netflix for your affection. But the Holy Spirit is one of the most neglected in the power of God in your life, because He wants to be with you every second and every day. The connection to the eternal God, the connection to the universe happens through spirit-to-spirit connection. And you might be here this morning and you might say, I know God. You may have been to church a number of times, but you might be saying, I want that spirit connection, that connection on a greater level. I want that joy and that peace that comes from that intimate connection. You see, a spirit level is not now, maybe not how you would define your life. How you would define your life. So I'm even going to pray right now. A bit strange. Pray right now. For any that say, I want a greater connection, or you're just saying to yourself, I actually want to be connected for the first time to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus, because He paid that price. So God, right now, I know that you're resonating in hearts, and the fact that you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in their hearts, you want to increase that to a new level. You want to equip them, Jesus, before however they are capped in their connection to the Holy Spirit. You want greater things. And maybe life got in the way, and maybe things have happened, and maybe you stopped began ignoring the promptings of the Holy Spirit. But right now, you want to establish that connection again. You want to dwell in hearts again. You want the Holy Spirit is here right now, and He's here to meet with you today. If you want that intimate connection, all you have to do is reach out. Reach out. He's going to take up residence in your heart like you've never had before. He's going to connect with you afresh today. Closeness with the Holy Spirit. closeness with the Holy Spirit. And then this is the third thing that houses the presence of God. You're going to be spirit conscious from this moment forward. The Holy Spirit, your relationship with the Holy Spirit is like a dance. Imagine it like a dance. When you're first getting to know it, you don't know who's going to lead first. You step forward and the Holy Spirit steps forward. Who's leading this thing? I remember when Tone and I did our wedding dance. I'm not a dancer by any stretch of the imagination. She is, I'm not. And they always say the male has to take the lead. But who knows, when you can't dance, it's very hard to take the lead. So who took the lead? I'm going, I'm taking the lead. And she's saying, I know you're hopeless at dancing, so I'll take the lead. And yeah, and then this, who's leading who? Who's leading who? And she's going, I'm stepping on toes. She's not stepping on, she's getting out of the way of my toes. And this is sometimes what our walk with the Holy Spirit can be like. It's see, who's leading this thing? Who's guiding? Who's doing this? But the Holy Spirit wants each of us to engage with this beautiful relational dance. Instead, it might start with, hey, would you read your Bible today? Maybe the first thing that you do in the morning is not pick up your phone and check Instagram, but will you talk with me about what we're going to accomplish today. It starts with the small things. That person at work that's sitting by themselves, you know, since they've done that, it starts with the Holy Spirit's prompting. And for some today, your one is becoming closer with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be spirit conscious from this day forward. Two more, really, really quick. Two more. We've got two more. Number four is character that makes or breaks. You see, if your character is not strengthening, your future potential is weakening. You see, if your character is not strengthening, your future potential is diminishing. In Psalms 23, it says, David talking says, my cup overflows. You see, our God is not like the waiters where you go to those, I don't really like those flash restaurants where you go to and you walk out. And when you walk out of a flash restaurant, you know it's flash when you walk out and you say, can we go through Macca's drive-thru? Because I'm still hungry. You know those sorts of restaurants? Well, so this is the ones I'm talking about. You go in there and they're posh and they're ridiculously overpriced and you've got this big cup, but they only fill it a third full, and you have a couple of sips and then they, would you like some more, sir? Another $25. Like, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our cup overflows. It's not that filled with a half. That's not how God works. You see, our God fills our lives, our cups to overflowing. So it's splashing over the top. It's like when a kid tries to hold. I'm going to, and this is, some of my nephews have just started this. They're at that age, 3 or 4, 5 maybe, where they, I can pour it, I can do it myself. I can pour that drink myself. But they don't realise the weight of the 2-litre drink bottle is greater than what they can hold. And so they have their cup there and they, oh, I can do it, get away, I can do it. And they pick the bottle up, they can do that much. It's sort of like it's leaning on the side of the cup and they use it as a bit of a winch to lift it up, and then they go, and then what happens? Inevitably, it comes over the edges. It's overflowing, it's splashing over the top. And that's like what God wants to do with each of our lives. And so the question about the greater things of God is coming into our lives is not when will God pour them into my life. It's how big can my cup be. You see, our cup size is not determined by your talent. Your cup size is not determined by your intellect or your passion. It's determined by your character. And some people, you may have this thought, why isn't some of those greater things of God coming into my life? You see, but God wants to prove himself faithful. Because what does he say? He says, prove yourself faithful with the small and I'll give you the large. The Bible says that man looks at the external, but God looks at the heart. And some people today, you're going to be prompted. You're going to be prompted in your heart to check for character leaks. And it's not the things that have been put out of your life, but it's the leaks where things go straight through because of a character leak that you have. And don't think this moment is for someone beside you. Don't think this moment is for someone else, because character leaks can really see the goodness of God filter through your life when you're supposed to hold them. And so for some today, God wants to plug some character leaks. And God knows and God sees, and He doesn't want to pull you up and make you feel bad about yourself. And you may feel bad about yourself, but that's not His intention. He wants to plug the character leaks so He can get more of His goodness and greatness into your life. And so some people today, God's going to plug some of your character leaks in your world. And the fifth one, and as I share the fifth one, I'll get Toby and the team. We'll hand out our communion emblems. The musicians will come. And I'll share the last one, and then we'll come around the communion table. The fifth one is commitment that sets you on fire. You see, there's a difference between I kind of want something and nothing will stop me from pursuing it. You know, like there's been times over my life where I've looked in the mirror and I've went, whoa, what's happened? You've blown up like a balloon. What's going on? And then what do you know? When you say these things to yourself, some people might be saying it right now, in the new year, I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to lose weight. And who knows, you're going to fall into two categories, or one of two categories anyway. You know, like you can go to a person who write you up a plan, and they're going to give you a plan, and you're going to be one of two people. You're going to say, yeah, I'm going to eat chicken and broccoli 3 times a day, and I'm going to exercise, and I'm going to do whatever it takes, because you've got the end goal in mind. You've got the end goal in mind. And the end goal is worth it. You've got that photo on your kitchen mirror, and you're going, yeah, I'm going to look like that again. I'm going to, whatever it takes. And then you're probably like me, some of you are anyway. You might be like me and fall into the second group. You see, they start the plan. And they go gung-ho. But the moment that it becomes inconvenient, and when it gets hard, and we have a little cheat day, and no one will know. The plan or the program gets thrown out the window, and we have it. And I find that people can be like this with their service of God, is that they serve until it hurts. And then we can tap out. We can serve until it's inconvenient, and then we tap out. But for some today, God is going to remind you of how important the cause of Christ is in your world. He's going to ask you to raise your commitment up a level. And be a, no matter what it takes, I'm all in. You see, there's a big difference between I kind of want to do this and God has called me to do this. And so if this is you, as I read out these, I'm going to read out some statements. And your heart may resonate in your heart. And you know that commitment is for you. These statements are going to start to define your life. I don't just follow the Bible as much as possible. I'm a person that's found the source of eternal life, and I'm not letting go of it. I'm not kind of trying to preach the gospel every now and then. I exist to make the God of creation known to the world around me. I'm not just kind of part of a church called Narendra CRC. I have a spiritual family who build me up to pray for me, and they encourage me, and they protect me, and if you try to hurt my family, you better run faster because I'll chase you down. I'm not just going to turn up on Sunday and leave at the last song. I'm pouring my life to see people won for Christ because He poured out His life for me. I'm not kind of worshipping and submitting to God just at church on Sunday. Every day I will bow my will to the will of the one who gives me life. I want to be committed. You see, some people's hearts started burning as I was speaking those statements I wrote out, because it's the things that no one sees that results in the things that everybody wants. And some people need to take commitment to a higher level. You got to stop looking at other people's races on social media. Stop getting pulled into big narratives that are unreliable sources that are feeding you. You're going to be committed to the cause of Christ. And when you do that, God's going to continue to fill you. No matter how much you put in, how much you dish out, how much you dish out for church or for people that you work with, God's going to fill you to overflowing. And so, these five things in this moment, as we come around the communion table, as I was driving to Melbourne to pick up a dog a couple of weeks ago, I was able to go on my own. Well, probably thankfully I went on my own, because I reckon three kids in the back of a car for a direct trip there and back, there probably wouldn't have been any conversation with God. There probably would have been some sort of awkward conversation with the kids in the back, because I'm always a strong believer, when you travel in a car and you've got kids, parents, you'll know this, there's an invisible wall between each seat, and kids know that there's an invisible wall, and the moment you put your finger into or past that invisible wall, things happen. Awkward conversations begin. And that would have been awkward. But I actually got to go to Melbourne. I got to spend some time just talking with God, listening to different things, praying. And that's where I come up with some of these thoughts in this sermon. Thinking about the year that was and projecting to the year that's going to become. And God's got greater things for each and every one of us. But the greater things that He's called us to, they actually require us to do something. They require us to commit. They require us to actually walk into that. And so this morning around the communion table, I'm actually going to read out each of them. Let's have a little recap. And then I'm going to ask people to stand for their one. And this is a time just between you and God, because the communion time is a time between you and God. It's not about people around you. It's not about me. It's not about anything but you and God. Your connection with Him. And so there's five things. I'm going to get you to stand for your one. You see, let me recap really, really quick. The first one, confidence in the call. Confidence in the call. Moving from your dependence into the dependence of God. The second one, connections that shape your life. The third one, closeness with the Holy Spirit. And the fourth one, character that makes or breaks. And the fifth one, commitment that sets you on fire. And see, the standing is not just a fun moment. You see, Ephesians 3 verse 20, our initial verse, God wants to do immeasurably more because of the power of Christ that works within you. And as you stand, as you take a stand, the power of Christ is going to start to work within you afresh. And as you outwork this, the greater things that God has for you in 2021 will come to pass. I'm one of those ones that actually looking forward to the end of next year to see, hey, what was your testimony? What was your testimony? What did God do in and through you? This is between you and God. Between you and God around the communion table this morning. I would have loved to have the communion emblems out the front and we just come as a big family and do it that way, but unfortunately we can't. So if number one, confidence in the call is your work area, I'd invite you to stand. In this moment, as you take confidence in the call of God on your life, you see, insecurity is going to wash away. Insecurity is going to wash away and wash off your life. It's going to fall off. You're going to find that the same things that caused you to be fearful before will still cause you to be fearful. But you'll be able to step out of your own dependency and step into the dependency of God. Number two, connections that shape your life. If that's your work area, I'd invite you to stand. You see, God's going to bring people around your life that are going to help you step into the next level of your faith. And when I say stand, don't feel like you have to physically stand if you're unable. Just stand in your heart. God knows. You see, God's going to bring people around your life that are going to help you step into the next level of your faith. Or the next level of your business. For some people in this place, God's going to bring a mentor. around your heart. One connection that's going to change everything for you. You see, people in this place, you see someone, I'd encourage you to tap into a connect group. You see, it's connections in a life group that are going to change everything for you. I don't know about you, but when I disconnect, it's not good for me, my heart, my spirit. We need to stay connected. See, this connection isn't just about something, it isn't just something that you're going to trip over. You're going to have to be intentional and seek it out as you're going to move into the greater things that God has for you in your world. Number three, closeness with the Holy Spirit. You see, if that's your stand place, you're going to become spirit conscious. Holy Spirit conscious. That when you wake up tomorrow, you're not going to be like, oh no, it's Monday again. The Holy Spirit is going to bring an energy into your heart, saying you were born for this. You were born for intimacy with me. And through that dance, that relationship with the Holy Spirit, you're going to accomplish some incredible things for God. Number four, character that makes or breaks. If that's you, please stand. And God's going to plug some character leaks. And it doesn't matter how long you've been doing something. It doesn't matter what you feel like things have been stolen from your life. The goodness of God is going to continue to pour over. And as your character builds, your cup's going to get bigger. And your life can hold more of the great things of God. You're going to have to build something. You need to build some structure, some accountability around your character leaks. You see, I've found this in my life. Some character leaks are easy to fix. Some I can fix on my own, and if you can, that's great. But there's some that are really hard. And you need to build some structure and some accountability around those character leaks. And when you do, God's going to take you to a new level. You see, number five, commitment that sets you on fire. You see, if that's you feel free to stand this morning and commit to God more. You see, as you commit to God more, there's usually this fear that tries to pull back in your heart. There was when I have. I remember a time I was at a conference once and I felt to commit more, and as I did, I felt the pullback. This thought dialogue that goes on, if I give more, I'll have less. I'll have less of me. I'll have less time. I'll have less passion. I'll have less money, but God's going to prove you wrong very, very quickly. You see, it's not that core. And as you increase your commitment, you're going to start to live a life zealous. A life zealous. I see a new passion coming over your heart. I see a new passion coming over your life. I see people sold out for the cause of Christ. And no matter what the world says, no matter what the world does, they won't be able to steal your commitment. You see, today we step into the greater. 2021, the greater things that God's got. We step into Christ working into our lives. So right now I'm going to pray around the communion table. And then the team's going to lead us. And I'd encourage you, as the Nat and the team, they lead us, would you surrender to God? Because greater things always start in surrender. If you feel comfortable, I'd love you if you could raise your hands this morning in this place. God, we want the greater things. We want the greater things. We said we're not playing around. We want you and we want more of you. You see, there's a better version of ourselves that can be found in you. And God, right now we submit to your call. We have confidence in the call of God on our lives, and we thank you for the connections that we have that are going to shape our lives. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the connections that are building in people's hearts, for the closeness. I thank you for the character leaks that you're going to plug right now. And I thank you for the commitment levels that are going up in the name of Jesus. I thank you that in you we can find all of our things. We thank you that our brain or our body doesn't recognize the immeasurable greatness that you want to pour into each of our hearts. You want to use us in a mighty way. You want to change us. You want to make us more like you day by day. And one of those five C's you're pressing on our heart, would you press it on our heart? And over the next few days, as we reflect, as we dream, as we project, will we make room for you to work afresh in our hearts. We thank you that the cross speaks of intimacy. The cross speaks of a personal relationship. Holy Spirit, would you speak to hearts and lives this morning in a fresh way? And as we eat and drink, we just thank you. We thank you for everything that you did. We're so thankful. Our hearts are full. We worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.